Amen. We're going to talk about the double today. Turn to your neighbor and say, I see double. I see double. Come on, just wipe your eyes like that. Say, I'm seeing double. I mean, look around the room. I'm seeing double. Come on, prophesy to somebody beside you. Say, I see double. I see a double portion. Come on, prophesy to somebody. I see double breakthrough coming to you. Come on, look at somebody. Say, I see double favor. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Say, I see double increase. Come on, somebody. Double for your trouble. Anybody had any trouble? Thank you, sir. That's good. Amen. I'm going to preach a little bit, so it's going to have to be like, oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Something like that. Amen. I need to go to church. All right. Look at your neighbor. Say, all right now. It's time to praise the Lord. All right. I want to give you a few things today about being going into the double. Turn to your neighbor. Say, I see double. Look at somebody else. Say, double, 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 double. Yeah. Double. Isaiah 61. We're going to look at this. This is good. This is finger licking good word right here, man. This is better than church's chicken. Better than Popeye's. I was waiting for her to look at me. If you want to bless your pastor, bring her some Popeye's. She said, no, don't bless me that way. She's trying to stay away. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. I'm in Isaiah 61, and I just put the pedal to the metal. Hopefully you're with me. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I think we should just have a praise recess right there. Just jump up 30 seconds and put on the garment of praise. Come on. I dare you to praise him. Come on, put on the garment of praise. Woo. Amen. Look at your neighbor real quick. Say, neighbor, excuse me. If I dance on your feet, because I got a praise this morning. All right, you can be seated. Now, what, that was just your warm-up. That was your warm-up. Look at that. He said, I'll give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Let's do it again. Come on, 30 seconds. Just jump up. Come on. That he may be glorified. Look at your neighbor and say, glorified. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Look for G for me, my friend. Look for the key of G. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It says, at the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Verse 4, and they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. This is what God's doing through Legacy Life. Come on, somebody, look at your neighbor and say, this is what he's doing through this family. The desolations of many generations. You've heard of generational curses. Well, I want to talk to you about generational blessings. You came to a house where you're going to get generational blessings flowing down on you. There is a legacy. There is a lineage that flows into this house. It flows from the throne of God, yes. It flows from Father Abraham, yes, the father of faith. It flows down through the scarlet thread that's woven throughout Scripture. And it flows literally, naturally, physically through my life. I'm a fifth generation preacher. You just heard from my dad, 52 years of preaching this gospel. My mom raised on the mission field in a mud hut with her dad as a missionary. Are you in this house? When my mom was a baby, her dad was prophesying and calling people out by name and telling them what was on their blankies. That anointing that was on my mom's dad, that anointing that was on my dad, is on my dad and on my mom. That anointing that was on my great-grandfather. Are you in this house? That preached with Dr. Lester Summerall. That anointing that was upon the generation before, it is flowing through me, through my children, through my children's children, both naturally and spiritually. And we are repairing the breaches. We are restoring paths to dwell in. I wish somebody would say amen. Look at this. It says, you will repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Hallelujah. You shall be named the priest of the Lord. You can come back up here, Pastor Mac. I want to preach right at your face. Amen. I want you to pull it out of me. Amen. I don't need you working. This guy want to do everything. I need you to come receive. Amen. Amen. He's ready to hit it. And he going to do it. Hey, did I tell you when I met Pastor Mac? Man, we went to this church and come on up. He came into this church in Virginia, and there wasn't a keyboard player. The keyboard player wasn't there. The keyboard player actually left, got mad, left the church. We were at this church in Virginia, and I turned around and looked at him. I said, can you play? He didn't even know what to do, but he went over there and started doing something. As soon as he did that, I said, he's good enough to marry Dr. Yune. I said, I think that boy, he would do anything. He can play the trumpet, play the drums, play the keyboard. I mean, I'm proud of you, son. Thankful for how many appreciate your pastors. Amen. Is there another water in here? I can take this water right here. My wife has, but if there's another one, give it to me. I'll be great. I'm like a windmill, like my granddaddy. I just keep preaching as long as you give me water. All right. Amen. Cut my water supply off. I might stop preaching. So that's a good tip for you, too, if I preach too long. Amen. If it's a two-water day, you better watch out. Now, where was I? I was talking about, you shall be named the priest of the Lord, and they shall call you the servants of God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Somebody ought to shout right there. And in their glory you shall boast. Now, look at verse 7. Instead of your shame, you shall have double. Shall double honor. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Come on, shout double. In their land, they shall possess double. Hallelujah. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. I see double. Come on, wipe your eyes just a minute. Come on, just say, I'm seeing double. Yeah, God wants to begin to cause you to double. He wants you to begin to see double. He wants you to know that he's giving you double for your trouble. Come on, somebody talk to me just a minute. He's giving you double for your trouble. He's moving you and increasing you and enlarging you and expanding you. Come on, somebody. He's causing you to double in every area, financially. Come on. In your favor, you are doubling. Supabadahaya. Good to see you, Kennedy. He's doubling you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's doubling you. Hallelujah. Double, double, double. Just get up and find two people and say, double, double, double. Amen. Double, double, double. Double. Come on, find two people and tell them double. Double, double. Double what? Double for your trouble. Double favor. Double joy. Double peace. Come on, somebody. He's releasing the double. Our God is releasing the double. I prophesy to you the double. I declare over you the double. I declare and decree over you double for whatever you've went through. Some of you have been through a lot. Now, there's a few of you that are cute and pretty and you ain't went through anything, but there's some of us in this room who've went through some stuff and we got a praise about what we've been through. Come on, anybody been through something? Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. The double. I'm a little excited today. Double. Amen. There used to be a commercial about double mint gum. They had twins. Do you remember that? The twins would be on there all the time for the double mint gum. Double the pleasure, right? Double mint gum. Well, can I tell you, God is releasing a double portion. He's releasing a double portion upon you right now. Lift your hands. He's releasing a double portion of miracles, signs, wonders. Oh, Ramata Ramahase. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is the decade of double. This is the decade of double. He said to me, he came to me, he said, the stadiums won't be large enough to fill the people will be too many for the stadiums. He said, so they'll move out in the fields. He said, the fields will be filled like Woodstock. He said, the young and the old will dance together and worship in the fields. He said, by the thousands and the hundreds of thousands. He said, there'll even be crowds of millions and more than a million people that will gather. And you'll see the young and the old that will worship. They'll dance like pogo sticks in the middle of the field all night long. You watch and see. They're going to dance. There's going to be a violence upon them. And the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. There's going to be some radical worshipers. I'm not talking about little cute little two steps. I'm talking about people all night long violently worshiping, praising God in the midnight hour. Come on, 2 and 3 and 4 in the morning. And miracles and signs and wonders are going to explode over cities, over whole cities. Whole territories. He said, there's such a doubling. He says, between now and 2025, he said, I'm going to double. He said, watch and see my church, the church, my kingdom is going to double. You'll watch it globally. You'll watch the harvest double. You're going to see church attendance double. Aha, rabakita bahasaka. Lift your hands up. Rombabakirire kisabakata. You're going to see the kingdom double. The kingdom's going to double. Islam has been increasing, they say, in some nations faster than Christianity. You watch the statistics. You read the statistics. Write it down now and look at it in 5 years. Watch the word of the Lord be performed. Christianity will eclipse Islam in the earth. Christianity will double. Muslims will be transformed. I will give them visions, says the Lord. I will appear to them, says the Lord. And you'll watch and see. You'll watch and see. Even those that are princes in other countries, they will give their life to me. Oh, lift your hands up and give him glory. Come here, stand up. The Lord says he's putting his anointing. Come here. His anointing's coming upon you, son. Rebakata. And you'll not just minister to the down and outers. You'll not just minister to the people in the nations that are down and out. I'm talking of the Middle East. I know in the natural you've told me that you had a heart to go, but I know by the Spirit just now, I just looked at you, and I saw you sitting with people of rank and people of power. They'll call you to secret meetings, to private meetings. You'll find yourself with people. I'm talking about like princes. I'm talking like in Saudi Arabia and other places. They're going to call on you, and you'll be behind closed doors, and they'll say, tell me about this man Jesus. And the Lord says, I'll fill your mouth with my word, and I'll fill your hands with signs and wonders and miracles, and I'll release a move of my Spirit upon that land. And the Lord says, you'll even see that the princes and other people, they will bow their knee, and they will cause the people of that land to bow before me. Oh, lift your hands up and give the Lord glory. Ooh, Jesus. Lift your hands. Come on. Come on. There's an anointing coming. There's an anointing coming. The Middle East. The scariest of places will become the places of my glory. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. I'm going to release glory bombs where they've been releasing their bombs. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Wow. Well, where was I? Yeah. Instead of your shame, you shall have double. Look at your neighbor and say, double. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Come on, some of you have had some shame. Some of you have had some shame. Some of you have been through some shame. The Lord's going to take that shame. He's going to make a platform out of it. He's going to make a platform out of your pain and out of your shame. And from that pit of ashes, from the ash heap, you're going to stand upon the ash heap of the past, of the pains, of the shame of your life, and you're going to proclaim the name of the Lord. And it doesn't matter what whatever Sadducee or religious leader, Pharisee that has spoken against you and told you that you weren't good enough, you watch and see. They'll attend your meetings. They'll attend your meetings. They'll stand in the back. They won't be able to get close enough to you because there'll be too many people, but they'll come to our meetings. The very ones that counted you out. The very ones that counted you out. They will begin to come to your meetings and they'll say, I remember when I knew him. I knew him. I remember him way back when. Yeah, I used to go over to that church when they had 20 people, 50 people. Yeah, I went to their God Day thing with them. They'll try to relate with you because of who you used to be with them. They'll start dropping your name in a new way, because now you're popular. Now you're not the tail end of a joke anymore. I'm prophesying to you and I'm prophesying to myself. Oh, lift your hands up. They talked about us one way, but they're about to talk about us in another way. They're going to talk about us as those glory people, those miracle people, those people that double in the power. You know, the people that the president called to the Oval Office to speak to give the word of the Lord. You know, those people that the queens and the kings are looking to for advice. Hey, Rabaka, Rabasaka. Yeah, they're talking one way right now, but God says, I'll have the last laugh. For your shame, you shall have double. For your shame, you shall have double. I'm trying to move on. I know you're wondering what I'm going to say next. This is what I'm saying next. For your shame, you shall have double. Mm-hmm. I should have never said anything about you, because every time the devil touches you, you double. It's like gremlins. You add water. You add water. If you watch that old movie, you add water, and then gremlins begin to multiply. When you touch the children of God, if you touch a child of God, a double is released. Come on, I'm telling you, I'm prophesying to you, and I'll show it to you in the Word. If you touch a man of God, if you touch him, if the enemy touches him, he has to come out double. Look at Job. Consider my servant Job. You read the whole book of Job. My wife and I just read through the whole book. Boy, that's a sad book. I was praising God when I got through the end of that book. Anybody read Job lately? I was like, my Lord, he's sad, and the people that are talking to him are sad. I'm ready for a ray of hope, a ray of light. But at the end, how many know the end? In the end, he got double for his trouble. Hallelujah. His wife even told him, curse God and die. His friends told him, you know, you must have did something wrong. And boy, I've had enough of that. Have you had any of that? Boy, he must have did something wrong to go through all that stuff. I have preacher friends that have told me, man, I haven't been through what you've been through. I have preacher friends tell me, I don't know how you've been through what you've been through. Hey, but you know what? Watch and see when the double's here. The greater the battle, the greater the victory. Oh, come on, lift your hands up. Can you smell it? I can smell it. I can smell it. I smell the abundance. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory. Now, there came a place in Scripture, a time in Scripture where you find that they called in the sons of Joseph. Jacob was going to bless his sons, and he brings them in there. In Genesis 41, look at this. Genesis 41. This is what's about to happen for you. You're about to experience a Genesis 41, 51, 52 moment. This is where you're coming in your life. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh. Manasseh means forget. Ha. Saying, God made me forget all my hardships. Come on, lift your hands up. Boy, I feel the anointing. God's releasing a Manasseh blessing on you. You're going to forget. You're going to forget all of your hardships. You're coming into such a blessing that you're going to forget all those hardships. Look at your neighbor and say, oh, forget about it. Come on, look at two or three people and say, oh, forget about it. God says he's naming you Manasseh. You know that house you lost? You're going to forget about it. You know that business you lost? You're going to forget about it. Come on, you know that marriage you lost? You're going to forget about it. You know that situation, that storm you went through, those finances you lost? You're going to forget about it. That job you lost? You're going to forget about it. Come on, is anybody in this house? Whatever it is that you lost, you're going to forget about it. Why? Watch this. I'll tell you why. And he named his second son Ephraim. I prophesy Ephraim blessing over you. Ephraim means double prosperity. Oh, come on, lift your hands up. He named his second son double prosperity, saying, God has prospered me, watch this, in the land of my sorrow. God will prosper you right in front of your enemies. He will prosper you right in the place where you lost it. Oh, come on, lift your hands. Oh, my God. I release an Ephraim blessing over you. I prophesy and decree an Ephraim blessing over you. Double for your trouble. And if you read the passage, you'll find that when he laid his hands on them, the blessing always went to the eldest son. So Manasseh was the oldest. He was the firstborn of the twins. So he should have laid his hand on Manasseh. Are you in this house? First. But when it came time to bless him, he took the right hand, which signifies authority, and the blessing of the double portion, and he put it on Ephraim. I've come to prophesy to you. There's a crossover. There is a switch up. There is a shift. And God is about, they thought, this person thought he was in line, but God's going to go, whoop. Come on, lift your hands up. He's about to go, whoop. Whoop, there it is. Double portion's going to come on you. Come on, lift your hands up. A double portion like you've never seen before. I wish somebody had praised like there was a double. I wish somebody would shout like there's a double. Come on, praise him like there's a double. I told you, he got the trumpet out now. Before the service is over, he'll be on the drums. Amen. Got to do the triple hitter today. Amen. So if you want double, write this down. Number one, you got to go double. You got to go double. I'm going to give you five things to do if you want double. If you want to enter into this double portion, it's here. Listen, why is it that one person on one row will get it, and then four or five people over, they don't get it? It's the difference of what they sow, what they do, how they apply the word. So if you want double, you got to go double. Go double. Turn to your neighbor and say, go double. I know it don't make sense to your mind, but if you'll stick around for a few seconds, it will. Go double. The enemy's trying to make you stop. So if he tries to make you stop, you do the exact opposite of what he is trying to make you do. If he says you can't go, then you go double. Come on, go for it. Go for the gold. Go for it with all of your power, with all your might. Go double. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Don't sit there and be sad and gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression and misery. Come on, don't sit there and say, Charlie Brown, he's a clown. Why is everybody always picking on me? Don't sit there and be crying and be sad. Get up out of that place of despair and go and share the love of God with somebody else. Go double. Number two, glorify double. I don't have time to unpack all this because you know our limitations here, but we're believing the Lord that we're going to be getting up out of here soon. Glorify double. Say glorify. Glorify double. If you're gonna see the double, you got to glorify double. That means praise. Praise. There's two times you should praise: when you feel like it and when you don't. When you want to and when you don't. I tell people all the time, there's two times you should talk in tongues: when you feel like it and when you don't. Amen. So you need to glorify double. You know how they got out of the jail? The jailhouse rock? Because there was a praise that erupted on the inside of them. Paul and Silas didn't sit there in the jail and say, I can't believe that this bad thing has happened to us for preaching the gospel. I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm so tired of this. No, they said, we're going to end everything, give thanks unto the Lord. They began to lift their hands and sing at the midnight hour, and the place where they were in was shaken. If you want to get shook out of debt, praise your way out of debt. If you want to come into the double, praise your way into the double. Glorify double. Come on, let's have a praise recess. 30 seconds, just jump up and praise Him. Come on, praise Him. Praise Him. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Yes, glorify double. Glorify. Lift your hands up. Glorify double. When you glorify the Lord, when you glorify the Lord, it's when you come into the double. Say, go double. Glorify double. Number three, grow double. Grow double. Grow double. You need to grow. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to grow. You heard your pastor say today that your development is up to you. Your spiritual development is up to you. What are you doing to grow spiritually? How are you growing? I'm not just talking about the natural body, and I need to work on that because it's growing out here. I'm having a baby. I got sympathy pains. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how can you grow your spirit, man? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What are you doing for your own spiritual development? As a man thinketh, so is he. So what do you think about all day long when you wake up? Whatever you're thinking about, it's what your habits are forming around. And the strongholds, if there are strongholds, are formed by your thought patterns. You have to change those thought patterns by reworking in your brain new grooves. You literally can, they can tell you this scientifically, medically, it's proven. When you go through trauma, when you go through a hard time, if you're on drugs, if you're on alcohol, whatever, you've put in your brain this pattern, this groove, and every time you move to a place of sorrow or a place of sadness, you return to that place of that groove in your mind, you think the same thing, and you begin to act out the same patterns. So the way to change it is to brainwash yourself. Come on, you are washed according to Ephesians chapter 5 and 25 by the word of God. Wash your brain with the word. And I'm not just saying read it. You need to actually begin to decree it out of your mouth. Declare this word over your life. When you start having the stinking thinking, when it comes, when you want to return to a cyclical pattern and you want to begin to be a psychopath Christian, you got to get out of that psychopath and you got to get in the Word and rehearse that Word over your life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You are a word. You are a proceeding word. You were spoken to the earth. God said, let there be Charlie Fowler, and there was Charlie Fowler. You were with Him before you were ever in the earth. He said, let there be Blanche. Blanche was with Him in heaven before she was born in earth. You are a proceeding word. And the only way to function in the double is to let the proceeding word, these words, flow out of you in the earth. When you proceed with the word, you will proceed in life. When a word proceeds out of your mouth, then you will follow and you will proceed in that direction. If you don't like the direction you're going into, it's because the wrong words are coming out of your mouth and you are walking into what you prophesied yesterday. You have to speak the word. So you grow double. How do I grow double? You read the word to yourself out loud. I'm going to tell you, that's just Christianity 101. If nobody ever told you that, let me tell you. You got to get it in your eye gates. Once you get it in your eye gates, you got to get it coming out of your mouth gate. Because you read it, now you got to speak it. Don't just give mental assent to it. Read it out loud. You ever heard a crazy person? You ever been walking down a road? They talk to themselves. They're talking. You don't even know who they're talking to. They're just talking. They're crazy. Well, see, that's what it means to meditate upon the word in the Hebrew. You take that word, you chew on it, you speak it out loud. Come on, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but in it you shall meditate both day and night, and then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Who makes your way prosperous? You make your way prosperous. How? Meditating on the word. What is meditate? It is not just reading it and going. No, it is speaking it out of your mouth to yourself. See, you need to be convinced. Your mind is in warfare. The carnal mind is enmity against God. There is a struggle going on between your soul and your spirit. And how you shut your soul up and bring your soul in submission is by speaking the word over it out loud. Out loud. Out loud. Out loud. You pray it. You read it. My wife and I started at the beginning of this year to read out loud to each other. So every day we get up and we're reading through the whole Bible this year together out loud. I read a chapter, she reads a chapter. I read a chapter, she reads a chapter. And you know, it's changing us. Come on, lift your hands. It's changing us. That word is taking root in us. Aramakatase. Lift your hands up. So read it out loud. We're on day 50-something now. I don't know what it is, but it is good. Read the word of the Lord out. And while I'm saying it, if you are married, you should do that. I already told you, Ephesians 5:25, you wash your wife with the word. Amen. Wives, you go ahead and wash your husband with the word. You got all kinds of world around each other every day, and you got to get it off with the word. Well, that's good preaching. Good preaching. So grow double. Pray in the spirit. You need to set aside a time. You can do this daily, do it weekly, but you need to do it often. You need to set aside a time that you pray in tongues till you lose your ever-loving mind. Sakala mandele bakasa, where you don't even speak no more English. Come on, somebody. Y'all looking at me funny. Amen. I know I've told you this before, but I'm telling you again, you need to hear it. Pray in the spirit. Pray in tongues. Paul said, I will pray in the spirit and I will pray with my understanding. I will sing in the spirit and I will sing with my understanding. He said, I pray in tongues more than you all. If you want to grow, pray in the spirit. Tongues is the gateway of the supernatural. It's the entrance. It's the beginning of the supernatural. If you go on and read throughout the book of Acts, they spoke with other tongues and they prophesied. Prophecy's not something special for just a few special people. Everybody in the book of Acts that got filled with the Holy Ghost spoke with other tongues and they prophesied. I know that we forgot about that. We forgot there was a conjunction in that sentence. But when you grow in the Spirit, you move beyond praying in the Holy Ghost and you begin to prophesy. I didn't say it makes you a prophet. I said you prophesy. You should pray in tongues until you prophesy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to make a doctrine out of it, but that sounds really good right there. Pray in tongues until you prophesy. Prophesy over yourself. Lay hands on yourself. yourself. Lay hands on yourself. Prophesy the double. It's not mind over matter. It's his spirit over the matter. Pray in tongues. Get in the word. Read the word loud. If you want to grow double, get around other people that are going double. My friend Ted over here, man, he is just booming up there in the natural. I'm watching him and in the spirit. He's been going through it, but I'm telling you, watch this guy. This guy's going to blow your mind. And the Lord told me today when I was hugging him, the Lord said his second half was going to be the best half of his life. He said, the Lord told me today when I went over, I'll say it to you again. He said that he brought you in the locker room like the coach. It's halftime, and it feels like you've been getting your tail kicked to this point. But when you come out of the locker room in this season, you're going to begin to conquer the enemy like you've never conquered him before. In the natural, though, you watch this guy, man. You watch his Facebook or his Instagram. This guy's bench pressing this and moving this and, I mean, he's ripped. I mean, he's about my age. And look at how buff he is. Man, I need him to come help me work out. Come to Dallas. Help me, buddy. Every once in a while, just come through. Help me. Help a brother out. That's how I look in the spirit, all right? I got to get this body in subjection. I'm going to go on my dad's weight loss program. My dad's lost 60-something pounds. But I'm telling you, you watch, I mean, to get there where he's at, he's doing all these things. I mean, if he's waiting, I mean, I've watched him. If he's waiting for them to unload the truck, he's working out on the truck. He's figured out workouts because he can't get to the gym. He's not going to make an excuse about it. He's turned that truck into something he can use to bench press or dip or do something while they're unloading the truck. He's not going to waste an hour. He's going to make sure he's in shape. If we would do that spiritually, talk to me. You're at a light. Just use that whole red light. You know you want to cuss anyway. Just pray in tongues. Come on, somebody. Just begin to pray in the spirit. Begin to glorify God. Amen. When you're through traffic, that's what I had to start doing. Because if not, I wanted to blow them all up. I was visualizing that little thing on my car just blowing cars up. Or getting big tires like a monster truck and driving over all the traffic. I'm telling you, I had to get free from road rage. I got free. Hallelujah. Just pray in the spirit. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Just pray in the spirit. Use the tongue. When you're in the shower, pray in tongues. Hallelujah. There's all kinds of times through the day that you have that you can pray. If there are commercials on your TV, that's a boring time. How many hate commercials? I don't know anybody that hates commercials as much as my wife. She says stupid adverts. She hates all the commercials in the middle of things. And when we get a program like on you can DVR it, she loves it because you can forward through them. But when you have to wait for those commercials, she's like, oh, my goodness, stupid adverts. And she's so patient with everything, but she hates that. She hates that. And if you go to a restaurant and they take a long time, she's like, oh, come on, where's the food? That's the only time that I know my wife is impatient. That's the only time. I mean, all the rest of the time, she just sits there just so peaceful, and she waits on me and waits on her. But don't make her wait for food, and don't make her wait through commercials. And now that the baby's in there saying, give me some apple juice down here. She's definitely not patient about it. But when the commercials come on, just mute it. There's 2 minutes that you just gained to build your spirit man up. 2 or 3 minutes of praying in tongues. And you're not frustrated by that loud, obnoxious music and whatever they're saying. You know, you can take this pill and you can no longer have anxiety. You might die of a kidney rupture. You might die of this and this and this and this and this. But hey, you'll have a smile on your face when you die. Have you ever wondered about them commercials? I'm like, oh my goodness, I can get free from depression. But if you have suicidal thoughts, you might want to quit. You think? Some wow, man, I'm going to give you some medicine to help you, but you're going to be jacked up in every other way. I think a better thing to do is just pray in tongues. Se-ba-bra-ba-ka-ta-la-ba-ka-ta. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. I know you think that's my answer for everything. It really is. It really is. It is my answer for everything. I've had people come to me when I was pastoring, and they would want counsel, and I would just look at them when they come down the hall. I can still see them coming down the hall in Oakland. They want to get counsel. I'd point at them and say, just go pray in tongues. They'd look at me like they was wanting to see me. I said, no, I don't want to see you. Go pray in tongues. And they'd walk, go pray in tongues. After you pray in tongues for an hour about it, then we can talk about it. But I don't want to talk about your problems if you don't know how to pray about them. Boy, it got really quiet in here. Everybody wants pastor to baby him. Give me a pacifier, pastor. Will you be my counselor? And will you let me sit on your couch and cry to you about my problems? Go pray in tongues. Go pray in the Spirit. And after you've prayed an hour about it, your perspective will change. You'll have an elevated perspective, and you'll begin to see that we have a great big God and an itty-bitty devil. Can somebody say amen? Now, I got to preach quick now. We got to preach fast. Jesus is coming. Hurry up, hurry up. And we really just got to get out of the building. All right. Gather double. Gather double. That's G. Gather double. Go gather double. Each of you are responsible for the harvest. You can't just sit in a room and pray about it. You need to go gather double. Yesterday we were in our prayer meeting and Prophet Noah saw nets. Nets going over the harvest, going over prodigals. He saw a prodigal son in a pig pen and the net going over his shoulder. And that what the Lord was saying is the prodigals are returning. What the Lord was also saying was it would take evangelism for the prodigals. There are sons and daughters that have already been saved that are lost and in the pig pen. And God is saying, all I want you to do is go out with prophetic evangelism, cast the net over their shoulders, and you'll begin to bring in the harvest. Come on, lift your hands up. Gather double. The Bible says in Matthew 13 that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net. The kingdom is a net. When we net together, when we come together, when we network, we can bring in the harvest. Gather double. I don't have time to develop it. You can develop it in the coming weeks. Number five, give double. Give double. Now somebody said, what? Give double? I thought you wanted me to get a double portion. Give double. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Say double. Give double. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 literally tells us to give double. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. If you look that up in the Greek, it's double remuneration. It's double pay. Those that labor in the word should receive double pay. Literally, they tell us, according to scripture and according to history, that they would honor those that honored them with the word of God with double what the highest person was paid in the church. Double. Are you in this house? Now, I know we've been through Catholicism. We've been through the Dark Ages. And we've learned now through Catholicism that we need to keep the priest or the pastor or the preacher poor. If we keep them poor, then they'll stay humble and they'll do what we want them to do. But that is not the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is that the oil flows down from the head. So you want the leadership of the church to be more blessed than you're blessed. Why? Because the more blessed they are, the more it's going to flow down double. Now listen to me. I know there's some people out there that are goofy, that are misusing money, and they're mishandling money, and they're taking from the people, and they're hurting the flock. But you don't have to worry about that here at Legacy. You don't have to worry about that with this family. You don't have to worry about that with us. There are some people that abuse it, and they go and they use money that they shouldn't use, that should be for the kingdom, for the church, and they're using it for their own selfish gain. Filthy lucre is what the Bible talks about. But that's not the case here. Hello? So you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater and say because there was a few preachers with slick back hair taking money and having gold toilet bowls that you're not going to make sure that your pastors are blessed. Smile at me. Show me where your teeth are at or where they used to be. You can't continue to say, well, I don't want to give my tithe and offering because I don't know what they're doing with my money. Well, it ain't your money to even worry about what's being done with it. Tithe is holy unto the Lord. Well, I just need to make sure what's going on around here with my money. I need to make sure what's happening with my money. Well, what's going on is we're reaching souls. We're touching nations. Hello, somebody. Amen. Well, that's a good word. It says, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So your pastors, Pastor Mac, Dr. Yune, they're worthy of double honor. The people that come and release the word to you, prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you should honor them double. And when you give double, get watch and see, you position yourself for the double. I'll tell you this. I told you the other night about that interpreter. When I was there, all the time that I was there, I paid my interpreters in Brazil. Everywhere I went, I honored the interpreters I had. I blessed the interpreters. I was there one time for months, and everywhere I went, I had interpreters go with me. They were blessed. They had the nicest place to stay. They had the best food. They ate what I ate. I made sure that they were blessed. But one of the meetings I went to in Rio, the interpreter, he would not let me pay him. And when I got through, he turned around and gave me an offering of the equivalent of $1,000. And he said, I want to sow to you because I see what's flowing through you and I want it to flow into me. Now that interpreter is who I told you about Friday night that called me and needed breakthrough. He works in commodities and he needed money desperately. That interpreter called me, and the Lord gave me the word for him to forgive a debt, a small debt from a brother. And when he did, God would release the finances. He forgave it, and 48 hours later, he got $15,000 that had been owed to him since 2013. 48 hours later, transferred into his account. He never contacted him, never called him, never asked him for it, but that giving released the double. Are you in this house? The next day, he contacts me. He says, I don't know who you are. The next day, he says, I just got a contract, $25,000 a month for the next year, U.S. dollars coming into his account. Just from acting on the word. And watch this. When I was there speaking, he sowed. And because he sowed double, he reaped double. Come on, lift your hands. This is the word of the Lord. This is what happens. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You've heard me preach it before. You know sowa, you know reapa. You know sowi, you know reapi. You got to sow. You have to give. You have to give double. Somebody said, well, I wish you'd stop talking about that giving. Well, let me talk just a little bit more about giving. There are four ways to give. Number one, you give your tithe. If you're not a tither first, anything else you give is disqualified from reaping a harvest. Hear it again. If you're not a tither first, every other form of giving is nullified. It will not reproduce a harvest. Tithe puts a perimeter around your harvest. Tithe means separated for the enemy's destruction in the Hebrew. I know you think it's under the law, and people have preached to you, Dr. Dumball and whoever you listen to on Google have taught you that some people think Google's smarter than God. They think the internet's smarter than God. Isn't that amazing? But it is not. It did not start with the law. Abraham tithed first. Abraham gave to Melchizedek. Read your Bible, it'll bless you. Abraham gave to Melchizedek a tenth of all of the spoils of war. How many know Abraham was blessed? Talk to me, somebody. He was so blessed, he looked at Lot and said, Lot, you go whichever direction you want to go. He knew that wherever he went, God would cause it to prosper more. And that's exactly what happened to him. And then after he got his blessing, he gave a tenth of all. You look at Jacob. Jacob gave a tenth of all. Isaac gave a tenth of all. Come on. How many believe we come under the blessings of our father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? It was a principle before Moses was born. It was before the law. It preceded the law. And then in the Hebrews chapter 7, it says Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So what does that mean? The only thing we see Melchizedek do in Scripture, according to Hebrews chapter 7, according earlier in passage, only thing we saw him do was receive tithe and bless Abraham. Oh, lift your hands. Receive tithe and bless Abraham. So if Abraham was, he is our father of faith, and he was so blessed, come on, in cattle, blessed in gold, blessed in silver, blessed in houses, blessed, come on, in everything, then how many want to be blessed like Abraham? Then you got to give like Abraham. Tithe. Tithe means separated for the enemy's destruction. So if you keep it to yourself, then you bring destruction to yourself. I'm not going to preach on this long, so just listen. You got to give it if you want to align yourself up to receive. Tithe is not something you do once in a while. Tithe is not something you do when you feel like it. Tithe is something you're consistent in. Somebody said, do I tithe off the gross or do I tithe off of the net? Well, how blessed do you want to be? Do you want all of it blessed or some of it blessed? Somebody said, do I tithe when I get my income tax return in? Well, if you don't want to tithe, at least give a first fruit on it. Somebody said, I already tithed on all my money on the gross, so I don't need to tithe on the income tax. Well, give first fruits. That's the second way you give. Say first fruits. First fruits. Somebody said, what's first fruits? It's the first and the best of what you receive. So if something happens in your life, like a new account, a new breakthrough, you give the first and the best. Now, we've done it here at Legacy for years around Easter time, Resurrection Sunday. We honor the Lord with the first and the best because he's the firstborn of many brethren. Amen. I was watching just today. I got an email from Chuck Pierce, he's talking about this is the season of first fruits. Right now, it's begun on the Hebraic calendar. Hallelujah. So give first fruits. Say first fruits. It's the first and the best. So you take something and you give your first and the best of it just because you love God. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't like this way of giving, then you can just sign up for Acts and bring all your money to Dr. Yune and Pastor Mac, and then they can tell you what your allowance is to spend for the rest of it. That's what they did in the book of Acts. They sold everything, brought it to the apostles' feet, and they let them know how to spend their money. Or you can just simply, give tithe, first fruits. Give offerings. The third way is offerings. Say offerings. And the fourth way is alms. Say alms. So here's what I've had people say to me over the years. I gave my tithe to my uncle because my uncle was really in a hard time. Now, you know what you just did? It wasn't tithe. You took the accursed thing that was set apart for the enemy's destruction, and you gave at his alms what was tithe. Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. So if you're going to give to the poor first, then all you're going to do is continue to perpetuate the same problem. Your uncle needs to see you tithe first so he can learn to tithe, and then he won't be in that same predicament next month that you have to bail him out again for. Well, my son, my grandson, my meemaw needed so-and-so. And then we give it to him. And then we wonder why we're under a curse. Because we've taken tithe and we've turned it into alms. Alms can only be given after tithe and offerings. Hello. Somebody said, well, I'm a Robin Hood believer. I believe we take it from the rich and give it to the poor. Jesus said, no, I'm turning that thing upside down. Read my word. Jesus was a Republican. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. I can feel out of this, the air just went out of the room just now. Jesus, if he was here, he'd be a Republican. What did he say? He'd say, watch this. Oh, I can feel it. Can feel it in the room right now. People mad. They're staring at me like, can you believe that? He said that. It's all right. I'm going to say it anyway. What did he say? He didn't take it from the rich. He didn't believe in socialism. He didn't take it from the rich to give it to the poor and spread it out upon everybody's needs. No, what he said, take from him who has not and give to him who has. Take the one that had the one talent and didn't multiply it and give it to the person who multiplied it to 10. Why? Because he knew he'd be a fruitful businessman and make there made more business to employ more employees so there would be less debt. What a smart businessman. Hey, I don't have to worry about losing my 501c3 anymore. I got a president in office that protects preachers. Isn't it a miracle? He actually protects the pulpit. I can say whatever I want to say. I don't have to marry homosexuals anymore. Because I have a president, the first day he was in office, signed it to protect me. And we have less aborted babies. It's happening. It's being fulfilled. And when he's elected again, if you're a Democrat, I'm sorry for you. If you decided to vote a different way, I know you'll be sad, but it's all right when Bernie's crying and whoever, whatever's going on, because they robbed the 500-something electoral super ballots from him so they could put whoever they wanted in. And Trump is there. Just rejoice because we're going to be outside of the mall dancing and praising God and singing and worshiping because we have a president that will let you worship and he will let you say the name of Jesus. I'm not coming back to that church anymore. It's all right. You can get saved. I don't see how anybody can be saved and vote for somebody that kills babies. I do not. Don't tell me any otherwise. Can't do it. Can't do it. You can't convince me in Scripture any other way. I went to meddling, Ted. I just went to meddling. Pray for me. He's packing, y'all. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken away from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rest on Elisha." How many are ready for that double portion? It's all about proximity. It's all about location. Say location, location, location. It's all about intimacy. It's all about relationship. It's all about being joined, being connected. Where you're joined is where you reap the double. Say the double. Stand to your feet with me. The double. The double is in your proximity. The double is in your location. If you're an Elisha, you're going to be bad to the bone. Even in your death, your bones will be so anointed that if they throw somebody on your bones, they're going to be resurrected to life. That's what happened with Elisha. He was bad to the bone. Come on, lift your hands up. How many want to be that anointed? That anointed. And I can say this with my heart today. You say, how can you talk about these things with such assurance? How can you say this? Because the Lord says so. Because I see it through Scripture from the beginning to the end. You say, how can you talk about things like politics when you preach? I thought there should be separation of church and state. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. There is no such thing. That was a letter from Thomas Jefferson that was written to someone else to tell them to keep the government out of the church's business. They flipped it and used it against the church. They perverted it. How can you as a prophet, as an apostle, speak about who will be elected? I've been doing it for the last 5 or 6 elections. I've been telling you who would be elected. How can you do that? Shouldn't you be worried about doing that? Shouldn't you not say something? No, in Scripture, if you find, they would call for Samuel and he would anoint who would be the next king. They would look for Nathan. They would look, come on, somebody. They would look for Samuel, for Elisha, for Elijah. They would prophesy who would rise and who would come down. It's the problem is the church has abdicated its role and stopped saying what is righteous and what is God. So I will not be silent. I will not be muzzled. And the muzzle is coming off the prophets. And the muzzle is coming off of the church. And we will say what God says, regardless of what people think about what we say. Because we're not led by a party. Hello, you heard me say Jesus is Republican. I was teasing. Because you know what? Even the Republicans can get it wrong. You just need to be kingdom. Just so happens right now, his hand is upon Republicans to bring a revolution, to bring Jesus into whole cities. But if they leave it, boy, I'll vote Democrat. If they leave it, I'll find me a somebody that is independent. Whoever God says, come on, lift your hands up. We're not citizens of this country only. We're citizens of the kingdom. Our allegiance is first to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and what his desire and his will is. How many say the will of the King? Come on, lift your hands up. Say the will of the King. Well, that's what needs to be our heart's desire. What is the will of the King? You say, how do you say this stuff with such assurance? How can you tell me that the next 5 years there's going to be a double? Because I've been there, I saw it. I time traveled, I went there, I saw it. Whole cities are going to be saved. Come on, lift your hands up. Miracles, signs, and wonders. And you might as well go ahead and get your surfboard ready and be a part of it. Surf this wave with us, baby. Come on, let's go for it together. Now, I'm going to lay hands on you just a minute. We're going to release the double. But before I do, if there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, I want to give you an opportunity. Maybe you've been away from God and you're not where you should be. Today is a day to give him your life. The only way to come into the double is to receive him. Everyone bow your head, close your eyes. If you're here today and you know that you know that you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you know that you have a relationship with God right now that's up to date, that's close, that's personal, that's intimate, that you know that if he comes back today, that you will be ready to go with him. If that's you, lift your hand quickly. That's me, preacher. That's me. I'm ready. I'm right. I'm with the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lift that other hand and give him praise now. I see hands lifted all over this place. If you weren't able to lift your hand as we continue to worship just a minute here, come up. If you want to make your life right, if you weren't able to lift that hand, come on and come up to Jesus. Quickly, come rededicate. Make things right with the Lord. Today's the day of salvation. Maybe you're watching this by way of webcast or sometime after. We just bring you to Jesus. Everyone pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Father God, I come to you now. In the name of Jesus, and I confess my sins, and I ask you to forgive me from anything I've done wrong knowingly or unknowingly. I receive your forgiveness. I thank you for washing me in your blood. From this day forward, I'll live for you. You are my Savior and you are my Lord. You've awakened me to your love. Now I will go and awaken others to your love. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, put your hands together, shout. Amen. It's a new day for you. We're going to lay hands over everybody today and just prophesy a double. But before we do, if you want to give, I want to encourage you to give double. Amen. If the leaders, if you want to say something, you're welcome to say something. But double. Get a double seed in your hand. You heard Pastor Max say earlier, $500. I'm going to tell you, last night and today, I heard that figure myself. I heard it twice, that there were people that God was going to speak to give 500. Maybe the Lord tells you to double that, to give 1,000. You say, my God, who am I giving to? Well, go ahead and make it a million. A million. You spell million, M-I-L-L-I-O-N. Or make it 20,000. Amen. You give $20, that's 20. But give 20, that'd be $40. Amen. So whatever it is, you just sow, go double, give double, and watch and see him do it. Now, there's ways you can give with credit cards, and there's ways on the envelopes to do that, I think, because you can't do it in the building. Or if you need to see me afterwards, I can show you a Cash App or something else that you can give to our ministry through. But you just probably have to go through the door to be able to do that. But if you need an envelope, slip your hand up. This is how you come into double. You give double, you go double, you gather double, you glorify double. Come on, somebody, you grow double. This is one of the ways, giving double. The more you give, the more to be given back to you. Amen? Do you believe that today? After you've given, they've got the seed distributors up here. Once you're ready to give, bring it up, put it in the basket. We decree the blessings of the Lord over your seed. I just come in agreement with everyone that's sowing today by faith, that God releases the double portion. And I speak specifically of souls and finances. Souls and finances. Souls and finances. A harvest and a harvest. Come on, lift those hands if you receive it. A harvest and a harvest. A harvest of souls and a harvest of finances. How many reap that today? Receive that today by faith. Say, I receive a harvest of souls and a harvest of finances. Amen. And here's what I also hear. This is for everyone here that wants to receive it. We might not have time to prophesy one by one over people because of our time restraints. But I'm going to lay hands on everyone. And let me just say, I hear promotion. I'm going to say it again. I hear promotion. I hear raises. I hear promotion. I hear increases. There's a doubling coming to you. There will be people here in this house that will say, when you come through this whole year, you're going to say, I don't know what happened, but I'm double what I was this time last year. Yeah. Amen. Lift your hands if you reap that. You receive it. Now, what do you got to do to align with it? Go double. Yeah. Come on. You have to be a doer of the word. Yeah. Go double. Yeah. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Glorify double. Come on. Instead of being sad, come on, instead of sitting in your couch, in your bed, crying, get up and glorify God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Can we get some joyful music? Amen. Some upbeat, joyful music. That's what we do when we give. Amen. And then, so you glorify. Here, listen to Pastor.
Amen. Well, we were going to give 500, but because of the doubling seed, we're going to give 1,000. Because we want to, listen, I'm telling you, we have been so blessed in this ministry because it flows from the top down. And so if there are others out there that will stand with me, stand with my husband and I, we want to bless Apostle Joshua and Lisa. Amen. They came here they on their own expense. And so we want to be able to bless them. And I want you to join me in this blessing. Amen. Because you're just going to be blessed. That's the way it is. Amen. Amen. How many of you have been blessed? Amen. Amen. And if we were to ask for testimonies, we would just have a whole line of people. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you to be a part of this double anointing. Amen. All right. You're released to give.